Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking again about the Kingdom of God. And we were talking about Sacred Purpose Trust. This is probably session six. We talked about policies of society, policies of governments, which are governments are just a product of society. Different kinds of society, different kinds of people will create different kinds of government. If you don't like the government that you have, then you probably aren't creating the right kind of government. And maybe you've been doing the wrong things and led your government astray. And so really, there isn't any complaint about government. It's a product of the people. They may not be a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. They may not be a free government. But the nature of the people creates the government, because government is a creation of the people. And so how do you create the government? Well, some people think you vote. Well, that can have an influence on it, but really that isn't how you create the government. Governments are created by attitude. I remember when Perestroika was first coming out in the Soviet Union, and you no longer had to go to the Ministry of Art to get your paintings approved. You could actually just put them on display at art shows around the country and in Moscow, and you could just set up your easels and show your paintings. And they did. And people were showing their paintings, and other people were coming along, and they didn't like them. So they would knock over the easels and step on the paintings and wreck them. You see, the idea of a Gestapo or a KGB is really already written in the hearts of the people. And so the nature of the government is born out of the nature of the people. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody in the country is like the KGB, but that spirit is strong in that country. The same as China. China thought, well, we'll go to communism and we'll get rid of all the warlords and serfdom and cruelty of the system that we had before. But in reality, they created the same kind of system with, you know, a red star on their hat. They're still warlords and they're still oppressing the peasants. It's just under a new name. The spirit of the people has produced the same thing. And, of course, there are good Chinese people and there are bad Chinese people. But we're talking about generalities, that in that country and those people. Now, some interesting things have happened through migration. Then you'll even, in a country as big as China, you will find a different spirit in different areas because of the conditions of that society. You know, places where life has been really hard and difficult, you might find some very sharing and giving people, because only the sharing and giving people survived. The dog-eat-dog people, they killed each other off. And so, in the same way in the United States, in America, long before the United States, people came here with all kinds of ideas, including communism. And then it wasn't working out. They were starving every year. And they realized that communism doesn't work. They didn't call it communism then. They, you know, from each according to his ability and to each according to his need. And they put everything in a storehouse, a common purse. And they starved every year. And people were dying. And then they repented of that. And they said, if he doesn't work, he doesn't eat. And they went to private property. What you produce is yours. To have, to keep, to use for yourself, or to share. And those who share survive. Those who shared with each other created the bonds necessary to stand in a wilderness alone together. And so the policies of your society will write the character of your society, and the character of your society will write the polity of society. It birds of a feather flock together. So anyway, we had an assignment on our educational course that we've been offering on the guidelines, and those who wanted to be a part of that could write an essay. And of course I wrote the essay but didn't share my version of the essay. Others have done the same. But now I'm going to do this program and probably the next couple, going over the items of the essay. And I begin with, you know, after reading, watching, and listening to the provided resources accompanying the Guideline 1 module, which is our educational module online, the assignment was to write an essay expressing your own feelings and understanding of what the Sacred Purpose Trust is and just isn't, and how it functions as a foundational component of the Kingdom of God at hand to achieve the Father's purpose for His church. Jesus preached a government, one form of government. We call it the church. The church is defined as one form of government in Black's Law Dictionary. And of course, it's a trust. Whenever you give something to somebody else for a purpose other than their own personal purpose, that's a trust. You know, we talked about that. Just mailing a letter, you create a trust. He's walking around with a letter, and the terms of the trust are mostly on the letter. It's also in the rules concerning the post office, but deliver it to this place. If you can't, take it back to this place. So that's a trust. When God said, dress it and keep it in the Bible, that's a trust. We shouldn't get too paranoid about words like that. Although the idea of trusts as a legal form really got going in modern common law and then legal systems around 1000s. But the idea and the concept have been around since the beginning of man. The altars, as we were talking, the altars of stone were creating trusts. People were giving gifts in order to fulfill religious purposes to ministers who manned those altars. Now, a religious purpose is to take care of the needy of society, to fulfill your duty to God and your fellow man. That's what religion was 200 years ago, 2,000 years ago. Today we think religion is, you got to think like me about God. And they think that's religion. No, even James, pure religion was how you took care of the widows and orphans. And it had to, in order to be pure, you could not depend upon the constitutional order or system of government. Because he says, unspotted by the world. He's not talking the planet. He's talking that what Thayer says is the unconstitutional order or system of government. That simple. But of course, everybody who is immersed in modern religious misconceptions say, well, that can't be because I didn't know. I never heard anything about that. And I'm religious. No. If you're not taking care of the needy of society through faith, hope, and charity, you may be religious, but you're not a Christian. You're not following Christ's way. And so a sacred purpose trust is when you take something you want to give to God to fulfill your duty to God and your fellow man, and you give it entirely to a minister of your choice, you have created a sacred purpose trust, sacred separate purpose trust. And we use the word sacred because it's not just separate, but it's for the purposes of God. And of course, Christ said, feed my sheep. So if you give bread to your minister to take care of the widows and orphans, then you're fulfilling, you're giving it to Christ. Christ doesn't need your bread. He wants you to feed the sheep. You pick a man amongst you who's very charitable and dependable and reliable, and you give him some of those substance. If you don't do that, you can also create the other kind of religion where you give somebody the power to come and take your bread away from you. And he may take and take and take and take if you do that. And you create a trust then too. And it is a religious trust. But it is a trust that exercises authority one over the other. And Christ said we weren't to do that. So anyway, in the module, we have this question of writing about this concept of a sacred purpose trust, what do you think it is to you? And I have a quote here, John 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, Father in heaven, not the fathers of the earth, but by me. We've talked about the fathers of the earth, so you should all know what they are and who they are. So Jesus was showing us a way, and that way of the church is the way of Christ. And if you're not doing things that way, then you don't really follow Christ. If you don't think you can take care of the needy of society through faith, hope, and charity, you don't really believe in Jesus Christ. Because that's what he said. You have to believe him to believe in him. You can't think he was wrong and tell me that you believe in him. That's ridiculous. So he was showing us a way, and Christ and the early church was organized and served the needs of a nation of people who followed his way. You could get the baptism of Herod and sign up with the scribes, and you could take care of the needy that way. But it gave them the power to extract from you your contributions. Or you could get the baptism of John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, and the apostles, in which case they required of you charity. If you didn't have that charity, if you weren't willing to share your extra coat with your brother when he had no coat, or you weren't willing to share your food, or your meats, or your bread with your neighbor when he really had a sincere need, then you were not going to be considered a Christian. You would be rejected as a Christian. You could do a lot of things, but you would have to be doing that. Because that was the religion of Christianity. To take care of the needy through faith, hope, and charity, and not being spotted by those men who exercise authority one over the other. The world, the constitutional order and system of government of Rome, of Ephesus, of Galatia, of Corinth, all these governments in Judea even were using that system of forced contributions. But Christians didn't. They were a part of Christ's government. And they said, there is another king, one Jesus. And they did contrary to the decrees of Caesar, because their government was not a part of the world of Caesar. It was a separate government. He was the king of Judea and the king of the Israelites. He's been the long-lost king David, the highest son of David. And he was saying, you have to do this by faith, hope, and charity, or you're going to make the word of God to none effect. I mean, it's that clear. So the ministers were not foolish virgins who did not contract with the world, but were bound servants walking in the ways of Christ, which was a manifestation of the way of God from all the prophets until now. So they were organized and they followed Christ's way. And I'm just quoting from Matthew 11:12, and from that day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, biazo is the Greek word there, and the violent take it by force, establish it by force. We see the same thing in Luke 16:16. The law of the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Biazo, same word again, translated two different ways. Only two places it appears in the Bible. Biazo means they use force, to use force or to apply force. This is when they're talking about those men who call themselves benefactors, but use force, exercise authority, impose a tax on you, not to provide for the needs of government, but provide for the needs of the people. Through a socialist state. See, for centuries, Rome was not a socialist state, but then it moved in that direction. Along with them, Corinth and Ephesus and all these city-states began to form these socialist states. For centuries, Israel had provided for the needy through faith, hope, and charity, through free will offerings. But now, thanks to Herod and even the Hasmoneans before them, they had corrupted the system so much that now they were providing for the needy through compelled offerings collected by tax collectors like Gabbais and Molochites. And this was a different system. And it was making the Word of God to none effect. So the sacred purpose trust is the first part of making a legal covering for the ministers of God. The Levites, remember, were naked. And the people had to make their underwear. And we've talked about that. We may talk about that again. But what the heck do they need to make their underwear for? Again, those are metaphors for making a covering. They had no authority. Naked, no authority, needed a covering. So somehow or other, they had to, through free will offerings, supply the means to the Levites so that they could tend to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith by distributing amongst the people benefits for the working class. And I've mentioned on programs about, you know, the video that you see, and there are all kinds of videos on the internet where they're interviewing somebody who's on welfare or what have you, and it's absolutely disgusting. They don't want to work. They're lazy. They're rude. They're promiscuous. But they have this entitlement coming to them. I did a show on New Zealand's system, you know, where they had, you know, very few people receiving government aid. Most of them originally supplied, most of the aid that they received was supplied by charitable institutions. But then the government was going to supplement that. Now the government's completely taken it over. And because the government takes it over, then you get these liberals in there who say, we're going to remove the moral requirement. You don't have to be moral. You don't have to be decent. You don't have to be a good person in any way, shape, or form. You can be an absolute despicable slouch. You know, you can be a hooker. You can be anything. And we'll give you money. And we'll give you a lot of money because we want you to be just as comfortable as if you had a job. That's what they said in New Zealand. And so now they have hundreds of thousands of people in that little tiny country on welfare. And if you're a foreigner in the country, and you come in, evidently they'll even fix your teeth, according to what one guy said. He thought it was great. Even though everybody born in that country is $40,000-$50,000 in debt because of this squandering of the trust funds, the money that was given to the government in trust. But the nature of that trust is different than the church trust. What's the big difference? Charity. You see, the state doesn't use charity. The second big difference is morality. We're not going to enrich you if you want to be promiscuous and immoral and not raise your children and an alcoholic and get drunk every night or whenever you want and squander the money that you do make so that now we have to pick up the slack so that you can keep being immoral. We want you to feel the sting of immorality. We don't want you to be comfortable in immorality. That would weaken society. While we were affluent enough to give you the benefits, we would be weakening society. What was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? In a time of affluence, they did not strengthen the poor. Are you seeing how these things all fit together? So anyway, an ordained minister of God has no personal estate of his own because he must literally belong to God. Now, there's some really interesting legal ramifications of this. He's a bondservant. He belongs to God. Look at Numbers 3:12. And I behold, I have taken the Levites from amongst the children of Israel instead of all the firstborn that openeth the matrix amongst the children of Israel. Therefore, the Levites shall be mine. So the Levites actually belong to God. They were going to be His for a purpose. Now, there's a reason why this. You have to put this together and understand in natural law what that means. And why do they mention the firstborn openeth the matrix? The matrix is the womb. Usually the first child born in a family was to be the high priest of that family. He would receive the bulk of the inheritance of the father. But he is to manage it on behalf of the whole family. He isn't to cut his brother out. He's to help take care of his brother and take care of his sisters and take care of the whole family. He's the high priest of that family, that altar of clay. But nationally speaking, because sometimes a family will break down, so they're going to apply the same principle to a national family where the father is still in heaven. It's God. But the high priests are his sons, so to speak, doing his will. What? Providing for the welfare of the people, serving the tabernacles, the tents of the congregation, the individual congregation, the social welfare of society through faith, hope, and charity. They devote their full time to this. But they have no personal estate. Now, we'll show you where you'll see that over and over again in the Bible, both in Old and New Testament. Take Numbers 3:45. Take the Levites instead of all the firstborn amongst the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine. I am the Lord. So the Levites are actually given land separate from the people on which they raised cattle and sheep to support themselves and also to assist the tents of the congregation that they serve to provide for them. They would have these things. And if you raise sheep, you would give them sheep. If you raised olives, you would give them olives. If you raised, you should give them whatever you have, but obviously some people kind of specialize. So if they specialize, you know, if you were a miner, you would give them gold. You know, if you're a gold miner, if you're a lead miner, you'd give them lead. Whatever you're producing, you would give them a portion. For what purpose? So they could just burn up sheep? No. So that they could take care of the needy. Serve the tabernacle of the congregation, which is really saying the tabernacles, the tents, same word in the Hebrew, the tents of the congregation. In Numbers 8:14, we see, Thus shalt thou separate the Levites from amongst the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. A principle we hear over and over again. And we'll actually hear that also mentioned by Christ. These are the ones I, in the world, not of the world. I have kept them out of the world. And I pray that, you know, they continue to remain out of the world. If they own anything, they had to sell all their, and he actually uses the word property. It's just translated hath, but it's actually a word that means property. They were to give it all away and not own it in their own personal name. They were to own it together in common, because the Levites had land, but they owned that land in common. They had no personal estate. You kill this Levite, some other Levite could take over. And amongst themselves, there was a system to see into it that that was done. They're all married. They have children. They have families, and they live on Levite land, and they raise their children up to be Levite. Although if a child didn't want to be a Levite, he could get adopted by any family. You know, if he wanted to go to sea, he could be adopted by a family that was seamen, and he would go to sea with them. He he would be employed by that family. It was all domesticity, a domestic relationship. Your employer was another family, and you became what they would call a domestic, and you might do it by adoption, or maybe it would just be a temporary, like an apprenticeship. But the point was, is the Levites owned all this in common. That's why Levites, if you sold land to somebody, it would be returned to your family line. You couldn't sell all the land out of your family line. Your family line could be cut off and you die out because you have no children, but it would return in the year of Jubilee to your family. And so when you sold that land, they knew that I'm only going to be able to own this land for 49 years or whatever, and then it's going to be returned to the other. So when they buy it, they figure that into the price. The Levite land could be redeemed at any time. Why? Because they didn't really own it. They had no inheritance. They belonged to God. If you kill a Levite, his land goes back to God or to another Levite because they owned all things in common. They were heirs in common. Now, there's a very particular reason why this, and I'm not going to explain it all to you directly here on a radio show, but it's really amazing. And when you really understand how it works, you'll understand what's going on in the world today. People say, well, I want to own my own land. Well, you don't. You only have a legal title. A Levite might hold the legal title to land, but the lawful title to the land of a Levite is owned by God. Couldn't be taxed by the king. It was separate. Because the Levite was separate. If the Levite wasn't separate, even in Egypt, remember the high priests in Egypt, the priests in Egypt? They didn't go under the authority of the Pharaoh because they lived on a stipend that they would automatically receive, you know, like the showbread. Same system was there with twists and turns as corruption comes in. Once you understand the principle, you'll see it's exactly what Jesus was doing with the early church, which is why they talk about Barnabas and Hoses, who owned land and was a Levite in Cyprus, but he sold it and laid the money at the foot of the apostles. Well, Levites couldn't own land in their own name to sell it. Any Levite could come back and redeem that land, except for the fact that somebody changed the rules under the Hasmoneans, and it continued that way under Herod. And what Hoses was doing was getting back right with the Lord. He was repenting, and he was going back to that original system where the ministers own all things in common. We have a minister in the next valley. When he retired, he's on Social Security now. He should be taken care of by the church. He shouldn't be taken care of by Social Security. He shouldn't be applying to men who call themselves benefactors, who exercise authority to provide him. But that's what that system is. Because you've organized your church not like Christ did, not like Moses did, not like Abraham did. You've actually organized it like the Pharisees did. And you need to repent of that too. And I know this is a lot for a lot of you to understand, and we'll have to come back to that. And we will in greater depth. And if you join us on the network, we can explain it in greater detail. But I can't put everything on the radio. It's just people will get themselves into trouble. But we'll be right back after this break.
My name is Mark, and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean, and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our life seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And hear about the keys of the kingdom.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking about this sacred purpose trust concept, which was used by the Levites in the early church. It's been used by Abraham even way back with Abraham, and actually even before the flood, and we can show you how that works, but we won't do it this time. Anyway, this was a tradition even before the Levites, as I said, were called out. It has been an important part of the separation of the church in the wilderness, or the church today. Church in the wilderness was the Levites, who were called out, just like the apostles were called out. The apostles were separate from the world. They were in the world, but not of the world. And the Levites were amongst the Israelites, But they were not of the Israelites. They were separate. They actually belonged to God. Concept goes way back in history. You find it amongst the Teutons, amongst the Egyptians. You'll find it even over in the Oriental countries. It's been around forever. And it's because it's part of the natural law and right reason. But you're just not taught this anymore. You're taught legal systems. And the legal system is actually constructed along those lines. See, a lot of people say, well, wait a minute, I want to own my own property. We talked about that before the break. But the fact is, with the legal title, you're only an apparent title that carries with it no beneficial interest. So if you have a legal title, paid $400,000 for the legal title of this property, you don't own the beneficial interest or the right to use the property. You have to pay a use tax to keep using it. Stop paying the use tax. They take the whole property away from you and give it to somebody else who will pay the use tax. And they'll make somebody else pay for the privilege of paying the use tax and being the first leaser on the property, because that's really all you're doing. Well, amongst the Levites, it's the same way, except for the fact there's another step in there that is different. And one of the most different things about it is they belong to God. Now, there's a lot of people who say they belong to God, and a lot of people say they're doing the will of God, and God knows who they are and who they aren't. But if you're not doing what Christ came to do, then you're not really Christ's servant. And Christ came to serve. He's feeding people. He's taking care of people. He's healing people. He's not going to the fathers of the earth. So if your ministers are not doing what Christ said, but doing contrary to what Christ said, then you know he's not a minister of Christ. No, I don't care how nice the guy is, how sweet he is, how soft he talks about things, and he seems to be a really nice guy. He's missed the gospel. Now, I know many of those pastors out there could repent and say, oh my gosh, I missed that part of the gospel. Well, once they see it, and they're told it, now they have no excuse. They have to repent and go back to the ways that Christ originally set up for the church. And we'd love to help them do that. But they have to start doing it. And there's a lot of little tricks to it and, you know, nuances to it. Just like anything that's kind of artistic, you've got to know where all the pitfalls are. And a lot of churches have known there's something wrong, tried to do something different, but they didn't get this full picture that we can help you obtain if you will let God write upon your heart and upon your mind. We can only give you the knowledge, you know, pluck it from the tree of knowledge. You need to pluck the Spirit from the tree of life. And if without that, you've got nothing. So anyway, this idea, this was the tradition of the Levites that were called out. It has been an important part of the separation of church and state. Now, of course, with the Levites were called out when the people were forming a state with a central bank. The golden calf was the central bank. In the other city states, when they had golden statues, they called it the reserve fund. And it was a way of which depositing a great deal of wealth of the people, so that you knew what you had to stay and defend. And it bound the people together by that common purse of wealth. But so they were forming a state, much like Egypt, going to go back to Egypt. And God, you know, Moses called them out to get them to repent of that. And in my essay, I write church and state, small s, or church and state, capital S, and there's a reason for that. And I add a couple of quotes so you can understand it. Now, with the small state, I quote Numbers chapter 8, verse 14. Thus shalt thou separate the Levites from amongst the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. That's the one that I quote there. And that's very important that we quote that, because this idea of the ministers belonging to God is essential. But they're literally separate from the people. Well, being separate from the people makes them separate from the small s state. They're separate from the people. But separate from the capital S state is when the people incorporate. They take some of their rights, invest them in some sort of corporation that they may create, you know, some sort of governmental structure that they create. Could be a communist government, democratic government. It could be a socialist government. It could be a lot of different kinds of governments. But that government has power because the people invested their right to choose and gave it to that corporate government. So now that's the capital S state. And the church is supposed to be separate from that state as well. So I'm all for separation of church and state when we use the word church to define the ministers called out. Now we use that word church real loosely, and we often use it to also include the congregation. But the congregation is called out of sin, but many times when you see the word ecclesia, they're referring to the called out apostles who were appointed to a particular office. Now, I know a lot of people say, oh, we don't need that. All we do is need to go out and be nice to people and kind and everything. Well, everybody who says that are also sucking at the benefits of the men who exercise authority. And they're also, you know, out there praying to the fathers of the earth for their benefits. And all that is, they're not supposed to be doing that. Certainly not the ministers. Because that's how you become their servants. You're supposed to be God's servant. The ministers need to be God's servant more than anything else. Because they are actually taking on that office, that appointed office of Christ, the appointed office of Moses, the appointed office of Abraham, to serve the tents of the congregations. And they are to be separate from those congregations. Now, I know there's going to be a lot of arguments about that, but for those of you who can hear, come study more and we'll show you more. I'll give you a couple of quotes. John 15:19. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Does the planet hate them? No. He's not talking about the planet. He's talking about that same word again, constitutional order or system of government. The kamizo that become the cosmos, which meant this organized system, because kamizo comes from the word to take care of. If the state is taking care of you, then you belong to the state. Remember back on our series on the Father, if you eat at my table, you do it according to my rules. That's the way it works. So the Levites and the early church ministers could not eat at the table of Caesar. They had to eat at God's table. Well, who sets God's table? It can only be set with free will offerings. If they were taking benefits such as Medicare and Medicaid and all these other things from the government that exercises authority, then they would belong to the government. They would be of the world. See, so you can't do that. You have to be separate. And it's very hard for them to be separate unless the crows come and feed us in this day and age, unless the people support us. But we're not going to make you. We're still out here serving people and helping people and preaching to people and taking the time to explain the gospel of the kingdom. We're not mesmerizing you and hypnotizing you and getting you all worked up emotionally with a lot of music and jumbo-jumbo and mumbo-jumbo. We're just telling you the truth. This is the way it works. This is the way it's always worked. It's not any different. God's the same yesterday as he is today. You guys are often the same too. But unfortunately, you're the same as the Pharisees and not the same as the early Christians who took care of all their social welfare through Free will offerings. See, in John 17:6, we see, I have manifested thy name unto them. Thy name. What? Did he tell them what God's name really was? No. He manifested the character of God unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now, some of the apostles were actually ministers and disciples of John the Baptist, who was also out of the world, was this separate Levite minister, still trying to preach the people to get them back to operating by charity and not sucking off the benefits of Herod the Great and his golden temple. They were to share their coat, share in bread and meats, and take care of one another out of love. That simple. Not doing that, not following Jesus. You're just deluding yourself. You're fooling yourself. Look at John 17:15. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them from the evil. What evil? The evil of the world. The covetousness of the world to exercise authority one over the other, to rule over, to turn men into bread for their rulers to eat of, to so that neighbor could take bite out of neighbor and devour one another. This is the evil. And this is what you do every day. I mean, you know, you want a nicer school, you take a bite out of your neighbor. You up the taxes. You levy higher taxes, which you're free to do, but you're not doing what Christ said. You're going off into another la-la land that's contrary to the ways of Christ. 1 Corinthians 5:10. We'll get into the epistles. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of the world. Now, how do you fornicate with the world? Fornicators of the world, that's have this relationship with this constitutional order or system of government again. It's not the word ekomene and aeon and the other words that you could translate into world. It's this constitutional order and system of government. Fornicators of the world or with the covetous or extortioners, that's when they're collecting from people who don't really owe it, but they're just threatening them. And they're going to make them pay anyway. And, you know, and sometimes they do that. Now, many times people do owe and they don't want to pay. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about occasionally the system is overzealous and takes from those who don't really owe. So they're extortioners, threatening, put them in jail, etc., to get money out of them. Now, most of you have agreed. Most of you probably owe the tax. And a lot of you are deceiving yourselves into thinking you don't owe the tax and you should pay it if you owe it. That's being friends with the unrighteous mammon. What I'm talking about is serving God. And there is a way to do that righteously and according to the law. And this is what we show in the Free Church Report. And what we ourselves are trying to learn how to do. And we need your help. And we need your support to do it so that we can teach other ministers who really want to go the way of Christ and how to do it. That's where we want to take you if you are willing to walk the walk. So anyway, those who are covetous or extortioners or with idolaters, remember the shows on idolatry? What that means? You're setting up these systems and you're worshiping, bowing down and serving these systems that are made by the hands of men. And often the authority of those systems are represented by statues and emblems. That's idolatry. For then must ye needs go out of the world. Do you have to leave the planet? Do we have to take a rocket ship to Mars? No, it's not that kind of world. You have to understand the meaning of these words. They're deluding you and fooling you. Repent. Come on, this is real basic stuff. So anyway, now you know the state, small s, that's just you're the state, small s, until you incorporate. Then when you incorporate and you become a member of a corporate state, then you've got this state, big S, from the beginning, and was certainly criteria of Christ when he appointed a kingdom to his faithful disciples. And of course you see that in he's talking about it, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Luke specifically, he goes on to say, you know, about the benefactors who exercise authority, that you're not to be that way. And then he says, you stuck with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom. He didn't appoint it to everybody. These are the ministers, and he put certain rules on those ministers, which almost no ministers are following today. But of course, that's not a surprise, because at the time of the Pharisees, they weren't following those rules either, which is why, and Christ came and said, hey, what about these rules you're not following? These criteria, these polities of Moses that you're not following, I'm going to have to take the kingdom away from you because your system's not bearing fruit. It's weakening the poor. So anyway, the people had gone under this authority of Herod and were also going under Rome's authority because they applied for the daily bread, the free bread, from the men who called themselves benefactors and the fathers of the earth. They were the fathers of the earth, the patri patronuses of the earth. These welfare systems were called Corban, even translated treasury, because that's where they get the money for their welfare system, and did not depend on charity, but upon force, as we saw with John the Baptist. With these systems, the people were trapped. They were snared. And I'll give you a couple of verses on that. You know, Psalms 69:22. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. What should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. You know, Paul says the same thing. He even quotes David. He says in Romans 11:9. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them, their table. So this is why we need to set the table of Christ. Even you go back to Exodus 34:12. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with them, the inhabitants of the land, whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. And why do you make the covenant? To get the benefits. Psalms 106:36. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Snared, snared, snared. Over and over again. Psalms 119:10. Psalms 124:7. Proverbs 22:22-26. Proverbs 23. Hold chapter. Proverbs 29:1. Ecclesiastes 9:11-12. I mean, over and over again, we see it. Luke 21:35. For as a snare shall it come on all of them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. That's where we're at today. And we need to repent and turn around and go the other way. Until then, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.